I want to turn you to a couple passages of scripture, Matthew chapter 13 and Philippians chapter 1. And as we're doing that, I want to welcome in our friends from all over the planet. Last week was so awesome. We got feedback from our friends in England, our friends in Italy. G'day, mate. Our friends in the Philippines. We have some friends in New York that are writing in. We have pastors from all over the place that are tuning in. And we just want to say, hey, welcome to all of you guys, all of our High Ridge Longview family, all of our High Ridge campuses located all throughout the state of Texas. Welcome, y'all. We're glad to have you. I want to encourage you to like, comment, and share this message. We want to make sure that we encourage as many people as possible. Yes. The gospel is going out. Encouragement is in short supply. So like, comment, tell us where you're from. We'd love to hear from you. Connect with us a little bit. I want to thank you also for your generosity, your faithfulness, your tithes, and your offerings as you're supporting us has been such a huge blessing to us. We've been able to do a couple things this week that I wanted to kind of encourage you with. First of all, we were able to bless Newgate Mission, which is another one of our missions here in Longview, Texas. They were short of bottled water and meat. So we put out the call, and our outreach team was able to immediately meet their need. We're able to solve that and take care of those who are shut in. We also did some grocery shopping for our elderly, those that are not able to get out. We leave groceries on their porch and taking care of those that can't take care of themselves in this tough time, because we love you. We miss you. We cannot wait to see you again. And anything that you need, we're trying our best to take care of that. And that's only because of people like you and your faithful generosity, your tithes and your offerings. Man, it's such an awesome thing to have a generous church. I'm so grateful for that. The hundreds of you that showed up to give blood this past week, that was awesome to see. Five churches come together. By the way, unity is happening right here. Churches are coming together to meet needs all over the place. And I'm so excited to see the things that people swore would never happen. You know, churches being competitive and all this stuff. No, we're working together and watching people come and to help and to serve, to bless, to be a blessing. Man, it's such an awesome thing to see. I want to thank you for that. For those that are watching, and maybe your home church is not able to have an online service, I want to welcome you and tell you, hey, we'd love to be your adopted church for a little bit. But I want to remind you, please don't send your tithes and offerings to us, especially during tough times. Your church, even though they can't be online, they still desperately need your tithes and offerings. Yes. So please, 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 High Ridge Longview, you guys are going to give here. You're going to always take care of us. We have a very generous church. But if you're not able to attend your church, please make sure that you're supporting them. Yes. They need it. Our economy is taking a downturn. People's faith is low. When faith is low, people stop giving because they're afraid. I get that. I understand it. But we are faith-filled, God-filled, power, Holy Spirit-filled people. Yeah. And we know that God is absolutely in control of all of this.
That's right.
And I want to thank you for your faithfulness and your tithes, your offerings. They keep us going. They keep us reaching out to help more and more people as this crisis continues to keep us quarantined. Yeah. So thank you for that. If you're giving, make sure that you do that online as much as possible. If you need help walking through that, make sure you give us a call. We'd love our number is right there on our website, High Ridge Longview. We would love to walk you through that if you need some help. If you're tech savvy, you can check out the Church Center app on your App Store, or you can go old school and just write a check. We can still get our mail. Thank God for the snail mail. We appreciate you and your faithfulness and your generosity. Matthew chapter 13, Philippians chapter 1, as we dig into God's word, I believe God has something powerful in store for us.
Yes.
I was drawn to this for a very special, just a wonderful power-packed scripture that I think the Lord wants us to dig into today, and I hope that it blesses you and encourages you just as much as it's blessed me. I want to start with a story. In 2000, right after Y2K, an amazing man that I worked for, he was a Christian artist, let us do a vacation in Jamaica. And I was extremely overwhelmed by his generosity. It was so awesome. So he took us to a resort called Sandals. Now, if you're bougie enough to know what Sandals is, you know what I'm talking about. If you've never been to a Sandals, it's all inclusive. And I had no idea. I'd never been to a place like this. I'm from the ghetto. My wife's a little bit bougie from Houston. But I wasn't raised to be able, I mean, vacation, what is that? There was no such thing as vacations. You just worked. And so to be able to take a vacation to a beach, to Jamaica, that was awesome. But Sandals, hey, that's next level. And I remember going to Sandals, and they gave us a green bracelet. And you put this bracelet on you, and I said, well, what's this for? They said, well, what do you want? I'm like, I want to know what the bracelet's for. They said, no, it's for anything that you want. Like, really? Like, oh, you're all-inclusive. Like, what exactly does all-inclusive mean? So that means that you don't have to pay for anything that you want. You just show people this bracelet so they make sure that you're part of the Sandals program, but you get anything that you want. It's a very exclusive thing. And I'm like, this is the most genius thing I've ever heard of in my life. And so we, you know, we're eating all kinds of things. They have a 24-hour chef. I mean, it was primo. I'm thinking, I can get really, really spoiled real fast because this is awesome. And so we go out to the beach there, and I remember sitting on the beach just watching the waves come in and just that peaceful, serene feeling, so awesome. And I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. And there were some people that happened to be walking past that didn't have the old green bracelets on, and they tried to sit down in a couple of the chairs in front of sandals. And as soon as they did, security guards just come out of the bushes like, hey, you guys need to move along. This is a private beach. I'm like, yeah, move along, you losers. This is my private beach. You don't got a green bracelet. This is exclusive. And people looking at us like, who do you think you are? I'm like, you better recognize my green bracelet. I'd never experienced anything like that, but I love the exclusivity. I love the perks. I'd never been treated like that before. And, you know, in Matthew chapter 13, the disciples come to Jesus, and they ask him a question. He had just taught the parable of the sower. Many of you know the story about a farmer going to scatter some seed. And they come and they ask him, you know, they ask him this in verse 10 of chapter 13. They said, why do you speak to the people in parables? Why are you giving short stories? Why are you speaking in that way? You speak to us plainly, but you're speaking to other people in parables. And Jesus says this, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven given to you, the disciples of Jesus, given to you, the followers of Christ. I'm giving you something special that not everybody else gets. You know, the difference between believers and non-believers are the things that God reveals to believers.
So good.
That's the reason why in times of crisis and anxiety, we don't behave the way that the rest of the world does. Because there's something that God has revealed to his people. There are secrets and wisdom that comes from the Word of God that helps us to be able to hold things together when life gets crazy. You know, we live in some of the most anxious times that many people can ever remember. Now, if you're as old as I am, you've been around for a while. There's of course been times that we've had to walk through as a nation, or times that we've walked through with wars and with Y2K and with 9/11, crazy times, but nothing like this. And for many people, this is their first time of walking through this, and they need the wisdom that comes from God to be able to handle the anxiety that is everywhere. I mean, fear has gripped not just our city or our nation. Fear has gripped the world. And the Bible calls that a spirit. It's a spirit of fear. So we're not only fighting this virus, which is one thing, that's enough, but now we're fighting against the spirit of fear.
Right.
You know, God has given his people secrets from the kingdom of heaven on how to stand strong, how to love well, how to hold it together when things are falling apart. And I love that when God shows us that wisdom from his word, it helps us to approach things in a different way. And the Apostle Paul tells the Philippian church here in Philippians, let's move to Philippians chapter 4. And starting in verse 6, he says this, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. I want you to think about that word. Actually, just say that word right where you are. Nothing.
Nothing.
Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Nothing should bring us anxiety. I'm like, well, that's easy for you to say, Apostle Paul. You don't understand coronavirus. But this guy was thrown in prison. He's writing this letter from prison.
Yeah.
And this is not just some cell. He is literally stuck in a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
So he understands anxiety. And he's telling him, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious for red meat or for toilet paper, for hand sanitizer. Be anxious for nothing. He says this, but in everything. I love how he says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything. Every situation that you may find yourself in, he says this, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, he gives us some of the knowledge of the secrets of heaven on how to handle anxiety. And he gives us three keys there. He said, by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. Those are the ways that we're going to handle anxiety. You know, anxiety is a real thing. It's very real, but it's not as strong as we think it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just isn't. It's not as strong as we think it is. You know, that word to be anxious in the original language, the New Testament was written in Greek, and in the Greek language that word there means to be pulled apart in a bunch of different directions. And that's really what anxiety is, when you have so many thoughts that are spinning out of control that you just can't handle all the different directions that your mind is going. That's exactly what anxiety is. But God's word shows us how to hold it together when anxiety is high. He's given us the secrets on how to stand strong, to love well, how to hold things together when we're surrounded by anxiety. Now, I wish I could say that I've never been anxiety-filled. I've never had an anxiety attack, or I've never been full of anxiousness, but that would be a complete and total lie. Let me tell you, I'm battling anxiety today. But I'm thankful that God's Word shows me that, hey, there's a better way to handle this than what you're doing. And I want to encourage those of you that are watching at home and those that are sitting around and you're thinking, you know, you're talking to me right where I am. Anxiety, fear, there's a better way to handle this than just by trying to think it out or processing through it, trying to fake it till you make it. God's Word has given us wisdom on how to deal with anxiety. And it tells us three things. If you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. Number one, anxiety bows to prayer. Anxiety bows to prayer. Now, lots of people will say, well, of course I pray, I talk to God. But, you know, prayer is more than just talking to God. Prayer is letting God talk to you. It's a two-way conversation. And prayer that the Bible calls a real prayer, honest prayer, is allowing God to speak back to you. Having this conversation where you're speaking to Him and allowing His ways to become your ways. You're in a real conversation, an honest conversation, an open, authentic conversation, knowing with confidence that God is hearing you. In 1 John 5, verse 15, it says, and we know that He hears us. We know it. I want you to focus on the power in that statement. We know that He hears us, because anxiety has a way of making you think that nobody's listening, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. But we know, John says, we know He hears us. Yep. Whatever we ask, we have what we asked of Him. And that's that honest conversation in confidence. That's the prayer that defeats anxiety. Psalm 145 says it this way, the Lord is near all those who call on Him. That means that as soon as you start praying, He's immediately right there next to you. He's there. He's near to everyone that calls on Him. And it says, to all who call on Him in truth or in honesty. So I want to encourage you to not just give God some sort of prayer list and treat Him like He's some Santa Claus in the sky. No, He wants a relationship with you. He wants an honest conversation with His people. And if you're angry at God, let me just give you a nickel's worth of free advice. He can handle it. He can absolutely handle your anger. He can handle your anxiety. He can handle your fears. There is nothing that my God can't handle. He has big shoulders, and He can handle everything that is worrying you. But get honest with Him about where you are and let Him take control of that situation. Anxiety bows to honest prayer. The second key that Paul gives is the word petition. Anxiety bows to petition. The Greek word there for petition means to express our deepest needs. Our deepest needs. Not our wants, because many of us have wants. God, I want some extra toilet paper, or I want some more of this or some more. No. What is your deepest needs? And there's a difference between prayer and petition. Prayer is this honest conversation with God, and petition is the next level of prayer where you're giving Him really your deepest needs. I want to encourage you to take your prayer life deeper than you've ever gone before. This is a time of wonderful prayer. And if you've never prayed, let me just tell you, this is the perfect season to pray. This is the time to pray with a newfound faith, with a new confidence in God. Pray prayers like you've never prayed in your life. Petition God. Give Him your deepest needs. You know, and that word petition, we use it in the English language to agree on something. Like someone says, hey, sign my petition. Sign your name here, because we all agree that this needs to change, right? And think about that, what a petition really, really means. And there's something powerful that happens in the kingdom of God when God's children start coming together and say, we agree together that this needs to change. Yeah. This has to stop. Yeah. We agree that this is not right. There is injustice in this area. And when we petition God together, something powerful happens. His word tells us, Matthew 18, Jesus Himself says this again, truly. Well, in other words, I'm trying to get through to you. I'm telling you over and over again. I'm telling you the truth. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything that they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Petition God, give Him your deepest needs, and do it in agreement, in context with other believers. Yeah. You know, there's something that's missing. I think our pride keeps us keeps us from really having that honest conversation. Not just with God, but with each other sometimes. We don't like to express our deepest needs because we feel like that kind of shows weakness. Right. But that's the enemy trying to get your prayers to be ineffective.
That's right.
If you can start agreeing, sharing your deepest needs and petitioning God together, let me just tell you, that is supernatural. Anxiety has to bow to petitioned prayers.
Good.
It bows. It has to take an exit. And that's you know, when we start verbalizing our worries and uniting with others, it pushes anxiety out of the driver's seat of our life, and it puts God back in the driver's seat. This is why it's so important for us to stay connected during this time. You know, this is a time of social distancing, but it's not a time of emotional distancing. It's not a time of spiritual distancing. No, this is the time to pull God even closer and to pull others closer. And even though we can't be with you together, we're with you in spirit. We're with you in Zoom. We're with you in FaceTime, whatever it takes. But I want to encourage you, when you're meeting together with your tribes, with your groups, when you're meeting online, be honest with each other and tell people really how you're doing, because this is where you're going to find that your petition comes out and that anxieties get dealt with. It does you no good to say, well, I'm just dealing with this privately and inwardly. It doesn't change. It gets worse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the Apostle Paul says with prayer and with petition. And then he adds the third thing, you know, anxiety bows to Thanksgiving. To Thanksgiving. And not just the holiday, by the way, which is one of the best holidays ever because, hello, mashed potatoes.
Yes.
He's the God of carbs. Come on, somebody. You know, but that word in the Greek, when we say Thanksgiving, it doesn't just mean to tell God thank you, which is a wonderful thing, by the way. The word there is Eucharistia, which is where we get our word Eucharist. Some churches, like a traditional church, would say we're going to participate in the Eucharist together. And that means we're just going to take communion, or we're going to take the Lord's Supper, just what we did with some wine or a cracker, or maybe a Cheeto and Dr. Pepper, whatever it is that you have. That's the Eucharist. That's where we get this word. It literally means to give thanks, to remember what God has done for us. You know, it's important to understand that a lot of times our anxiety is filled with things that we can't change. We're not sure how to change. But God says when we give thanks, it's a lot deeper than what we're used to saying thank you for. So this is not just giving God our needs. And by the way, He cares about your needs. But this is thanking God for your deepest need. And your deepest need is not just more toilet paper. Your deepest need is not just to make sure that you have red meat. Your deepest need is to not make sure that you got laid off. That's not your deepest need. Your deepest need, believe it or not, was grace.
That's right.
Grace. Because grace makes sure that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what, that there's a better tomorrow. And this is a place where the enemy cannot steal. He can't break in and take away this salvation. And once you've trusted Christ in your heart and you understand that I'm thankful not just for the things that I have, but I'm thankful for what's waiting for me on the other side, anxiety has to take a back seat to that.
So good.
This is where those even ifs that we talked about last week come into play, where even if the worst happens to me, I know that my future is secure. This is important for us as believers to remember to give thanks, not just for what God has done, but for what Jesus did on the cross for us. There's a newfound love in my heart for the cross. And as we've been taking communion every single week, I remember that Jesus bought and paid for all my mistakes with His blood. And I'm falling deeper and deeper in love with Jesus because of the sacrifice that He made for me. And I want you to experience that same power. You know, it destroys the anxiety when I focus on what Jesus had to walk through. You know, the Bible tells us that He was a man acquainted with sorrows and familiar with grief. He understands the things that we walk through. He understands anxiety. Yeah. When He was praying in the book of John, it says He began to sweat drops of blood. You talk about anxiety. That's real anxiety. So He understands what you're walking through. And when we start giving Him thanks, you allow Him to take on the heavy lifting, mm-hmm. and anxiety has to leave.
So good.
That's good news for people like me. Yeah. It's good to know that I have a God that can sympathize with me in my weakness. And let me just tell you, I get weak. I get anxious. I wish I could say I'm strong all the time because I know God's word, but that's not the truth. I walk through anxious times too. And it's in those times I have to remember the secrets, that hidden knowledge that God has given me to be able to take authority over anxiety. And I have to practice what I preach. You know, that's the thing about preaching that I think most pastors might not tell you. But anytime that you bring a message on a certain thing, you're going to walk through that certain thing that week. And it's just par for the course. And so I've learned that if I'm going to talk about giving, then I'm going to walk through a time of having to trust God in my finances.
Yeah.
I guarantee it's going to happen. If I'm talking about anxiety and how to offload stress, it's going to be a tough week.
Yeah.
So it would be easy for me to just give a message about something that I really want to happen and something that I'm able to walk through. But it's different when I know that I'm communicating something I'm having to walk through myself.
Yeah, right.
This is where God speaks into my life and helps me to speak into yours.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, giving thanks is so important. We call this, in our circles, in the hybrid circles, we call this celebrating the win or finding the win in all this. And this simply is just looking for what God is doing. Yeah. Another great statement that we use around here is follow the favor. Yeah. What is God blessing? It's easy. It takes no effort at all to find the things that are going wrong. We don't got no money. We lost our jobs. Everybody got sick and we got this virus and there's nothing good to watch because everything is bad and I've watched it all. And our pets' heads are falling off. It takes no effort to do that. It takes a strong effort to turn our attention back to God's word and start giving thanks. Start giving thanks for what he's done and how he has provided for us.
Yeah.
You know, there are some, believe it or not, there are some silver linings that are happening that I honestly could not have predicted. There are some things happening inside of the coronavirus that I would have never believed. And there's a lot that we can, if we look, we can find things to be really grateful for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Paul goes on to say this in verse 7. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, or this peace, this overwhelming peace that we didn't even realize we could have. It makes no sense when we're walking through a storm, this peace that we can have. It says, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I was drawn to that word, to guard. What does that mean, to guard? And in the original language, it means to place a sentinel over, to place a watch, like a soldier is watching over your mind. But it doesn't just mean to guard something like we would think in the English language. To guard something means to be defensive. This literally means to be defensive and offensive. So not only is God saying, I want to put a guard over your mind, over your heart. He's saying we can use this to be offensive against anxiety. Yes. We can use Thanksgiving to push it back. I don't have to just sit here and take it and hang on. No, I can literally push it back, and I can use Thanksgiving to push it back off of other people. Yeah. That's exactly what is happening right now as we start giving thanks and finding the win, finding something to celebrate, finding something to say, thank you, God, that I still have this. It pushes anxiety back, and it helps me to push it off of other people too. I want to encourage you, push back against anxiety. Don't just give into it. Don't just say, well, this is just how it is. This is my new normal. No, it is not. This is not normal, not for followers of Jesus.
Yeah. That's right.
It's normal for us to get into God's word and to allow God's word to get into us and start giving thanks for all that he is, for all that he's done, and start pushing back against anxiety. You can win this battle. Mm-hmm. God wants to guard your heart and your mind so that it doesn't have to affect us the same way that it affects everybody else.
Amen.
I hope you believe that today.
So good.
He says this, finally, brothers. And he's saying that this is the conclusion of this statement. This is what I want you to do. You're gonna pray. You're gonna petition God. You're gonna give thanks, and it's gonna guard your heart. And then I want to show you how to redirect your thoughts. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, anything, can you find anything excellent?" Or he said, praiseworthy. Can you find anything to be thankful for? Absolutely we can. Anything to praise God for? Yes, we can do that. He said, now think on those things. Or in other words, change the way that you're thinking. You don't have to focus on all your anxiety and all the problems, all the things that you don't have. Change your mindset. Focus on things that are true and admirable and lovely, one version says. Think about those things. Redirect your thoughts. It shows us that the secrets to overcoming anxiety is to redirect our thoughts to what God is doing, not what we don't have.
So good.
We call this an attitude of gratitude around here. Learn to be grateful. It solves a lot of our anxieties and our problems. You know, being grateful is not ignoring what's wrong, but it's choosing to thank God for what's right. You know, learning to celebrate the win, to how to make the best of a bad situation. That's not hard for me to do growing up poor. We didn't have a lot to eat at times, and there was times where we had to do without. So we learned to be really grateful. You know, it's not like the kids that I raise today, these spoiled little brats that have everything handed to them. We learn how to be grateful and just make the best out of any situation. And I love that my wife is the exact same way. You know, we were talking about this afternoon, my wife and I, and we went to one of her friends was having a wedding, and she hadn't seen him in a long time, but he'd invited her to a wedding. You remember this, don't you? And we got dressed up, and it was one of those fancy weddings, those bougie weddings. I'm like, sweet, this is going to be good. You know they're going to have some good food in here. And so We showed up, and the wedding had actually already started, and it was held by this beautiful river in this bougie part of town. And so we get into the wedding, and we're like, oh, I guess we're late. So they bring us to a seat, and we sit down, and I just wave at a few people, like, hey, how's it going? You know, sorry, I'm late. And the wedding starts, and it's just beautiful, and it's ritzy and glamorous. And I'm like, man, I'm severely underdressed for this wedding. And then I was asking my wife, like, well, who's this and who is that? And she's like, I don't know who that is. I guess that's the bride's family. I just know the groom, a friend from college. And they start walking down the aisle, and she looks at me, and she leans over and whispers to me, we're at the wrong wedding. There was nothing that we could do. I mean, the bride and groom walking by us, and I just said, how you doing? And, give them the thumbs up. And they do this wedding. She's like, we got to get out of here. I'm like, no, it's too late now. And so they said their vows, and they kissed each other, and everybody, they released the doves and whatever rich white people do. And then they started celebrating, had this great DJ, and the music was pumping. They had all kinds of great brisket and barbecue, and I'm like, hey, we're already here. So might as well make the best of a bad situation. So people were come up to, and this is the cool thing about crashing a wedding. You can be anybody that you want to be. They don't know. Like, my name is Julio Escobedo, You can be anybody that you want to be. Making the best of crazy situation. That should come natural to the children of God, because we have the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, right? The ability to give thanks and to find ourselves being creative and to making the best out of whatever situation that life ends up putting us in. We are not shaken by fear. We are learning how to find the wind, find the gold in everything that life throws at us. This is part of standing strong and loving well. It's the ability to just to make do, to get by, to push, to keep pushing. And there's so many things that if we look hard enough, we can be thankful for. Things that we didn't think could ever happen in our country are happening right now. I saw somebody that said, believe it or not, now prayer is back in schools and spankings too. How did that happen?
Right.
Thanks a lot, quarantine. Spankings are back in school. This being quarantined has given us something that most of us didn't think we would ever get, and that's time. Time. Things that we said, I don't have time to do that. I wish I had more time to spend with my kids. I wish I had more time to spend with my wife, or more time to work on the house. I wish I had more time to work out, or even time to spend with God. You got no excuses now.
So
you have time. I want to encourage you to redeem it. Don't waste it. Mm-hmm. This is not going to last forever. Use this time. The Bible says in Malachi 4 that Jesus came to turn hearts of the fathers and mothers back to their children. Yeah. And we've used time as an excuse to let other people raise our children. God's given us a beautiful gift of time during this rough season. Use it. Another thing that's been happening is a hunger for God. A hunger for God has hit this world like we have never seen. People are hungry for the truth of God's word. I saw a picture of shelves that were full of the word of God that were sold out of the Bible. People were buying it and they were selling out. How incredible is that? Mm-hmm. There's a hunger for God like I didn't think I would ever see in my lifetime. That's how revival starts. You're seeing the beginning of our world turning back to God. There's an old statement that says there's no atheists in foxholes, and when the war is happening, everybody becomes a believer real fast. When things are going wrong, when people are in transition or pain, that's when the gospel is most needed. People are open, they're hungry for the word of God. Here's another thing that this has produced, and that's the gospel. Man, churches that are able to go online are blowing up, reaching people that they never thought they could reach, finding more ways to engage people and to get creative about it. That's another thing, creativity. Yes. There's nothing like a big stop sign in people's life to make us figure out ways to get around that stop sign.
Yes.
But we do it. We figure out new ways to help people and to reach people and to meet needs. This is the church in action, and I love it. I don't like the circumstances, but I love that the church is finding a way,
right,
making the best of a bad situation.
So
yeah,
good.
We've got to do this, so let's figure out how to do it. That's been awesome. Unity between churches.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I would see that spirit break off in our country, but it's happening. Churches are working together all across the globe to help people that couldn't help themselves. How amazing is that?
Amazing.
Once again, I don't like the circumstances, but I love what God's people are doing. They're showing up. They're turning up. The church, my friend, is strong.
That's right.
Yes.
They're strong.
Yeah.
And the world is responding. They're seeing our love for one another and our ability to help in times of crisis. You know, the thing that I'm impressed with is just the visibility of the church.
Mm-hmm.
How we haven't disappeared in times of crisis. Lots of things, by the way, have disappeared, but not the church.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're turning the volume knob up. That's why I want to encourage you. By the way, the church is not a building. The church is you.
That's right.
And so I want to tell you, use the platform that God has given you to tell your world about Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus. And by the way, that's the only thing that's going to break the power of what we're seeing in our world today. It's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There is no solution that our government is going to be able to come up with. There is no, there's no way out of any situation except for Jesus. Jesus is the one that brings hope. Jesus is the one that calms storms.
Sure.
Jesus is the one that calms children. Jesus is the one that we know has all power. And at any moment when he shows up, things begin to change. Let Jesus be seen through you and through your influence. Church, turn up the volume knob. Turn it up. Let the world see Jesus through you. This is not the time to be quiet. Speak up. Speak out. Stand for Jesus. You know, he said in his word, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. But if you acknowledge me, I'll acknowledge you. I want you to take that challenge personally today. Step up. Let the world see who you follow and how your family is serving Jesus in this critical time, how they're serving others during this critical time. This is a great time to show the world that the church is not silent and the church isn't a building. The church is loud and alive. Hope that you're with me.
Yes.
I want to close out with this scripture. This was the verse that God gave me at the beginning of this year as we were praying. And I was asking God to kind of lead me. And he gave me this verse that I've put at the forefront of everything this entire year. I didn't know how much I was going to need it, but it's Isaiah 41:10. I want you to see the power of this verse as we close today. And I want you to pray it over your own self. Pray it over your family. Pray it over your business. Pray it over those that you know are hurting, that need the strength of God's word. And it says this, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You are more than welcome to take that verse and declare it over your own year. Remember the goodness of God, the favor of God, the protection of God. We've got a lot to be thankful for. But most of all, remember the love of God. He loves you with an everlasting love. I want to pray for you. Father, right now, as I gather with my friends, as we gather in a tough time during a pandemic that has swept across everything and everyone, Lord, we know that fear and tension and anxiety is high. And so it's difficult sometimes during all the things that are going on to see any kind of silver lining, to find the good. But Lord, you've given us some incredible secrets through your word that help us to stand strong and to love well. And so I pray for every single person within the sound of my voice that's struggling with fear and anxiety. Lord, sometimes it's even hard for us to admit it. I pray, Lord, that right where they are, that you would touch them right now from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Lord, I just take authority over fear. That spirit of fear has to go right now in Jesus' name. I take authority over anxiety right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we offer a petition. We agree together as the sons and daughters of God that this needs to change right now. So Father, as your children, we beg you, we ask you, Lord, you said in your word, if we are to humble ourselves and turn from wicked ways, Lord, that when we pray that you would hear from heaven and heal our land, Lord, you promised us that. So we stand on your promises. We ask that you would destroy this virus and destroy the fear that is gripping our world. And in the process, Lord, use it all for your glory. I thank you in advance for the winds that we can see are happening as we continue to trust you during a tough time. We thank you in advance for what's going to happen in Jesus' name. One last question before we go, my friend. Perhaps you're here today. Perhaps you're tuning in or listening to this, or you've logged on and just caught a little bit of this message. I want to just talk to you for just a moment about your walk with God. You know, maybe you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you don't even know what that is. Maybe you used to walk with God and you've gotten away from Him and you know it. As a matter of fact, you probably feel it in your chest right now. It's just, there's a burning sensation because you know that God is talking to you. This is you. My friend, I want you to know that I was in the same place. I was far from God. My life was a mess. I knew that my life needed to change. I just didn't know how to do it. And somebody loved me enough to help me. They led me in a prayer. It changed my life. And I would love to have that same honor of leading you in the same prayer that somebody led me in one time. So right where you are, if you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, if you've been away from God and need to come home, I want you to pray with me. I'll tell you what to say. Right where you are, pray this prayer with me. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Come on, friend, pray with me. Say, I believe that you came, you lived and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my mistakes. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Save me. I give myself to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to know I am so incredibly proud of you. I would love, by the way, to hear from you and to let you know what just happened inside of your heart and maybe what to do next. The easiest way to do that, would you text? I have a number set up for you to text. Text the words, I prayed, all one word, I-P-R-A-Y-E-D, I prayed, to the number 94090, and just contact me if you would. I would love to hear your story and maybe connect with you and to hear how your walk with God is going and to help you take the next step. That's so important. For everybody else, man, hey, like, comment, share this message if you would. Watch God turn up the volume knob on our church. Watch what can happen when you use your influence to push back against anxiety. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you for standing strong, for loving well during a critical time. We are praying for you. We're believing God that the best is still yet to come.
That's right.
Have a wonderful week. God bless you.